And Mr. Sokoloff, we'll hear from you.
May it please the court. Your honors, the issue in this case is whether Mr. Soto's conviction must be reversed because the evidence supporting it was obtained in violation of the Fourth Amendment. Specifically, the question is whether the Border Patrol agents had reasonable suspicion to stop a blue Nissan that was traveling north on Interstate 35, 60 miles north of the border. The answer is that they did not have reasonable suspicion, and therefore the stop was unconstitutional. Here, all that supported the stop was a look of surprise on the backseat passenger when the vehicle passed the agents who were hiding behind the exit of a rest stop, the fact that the passenger slouched down, the fact that the windows were later closed when the agents caught up with the Nissan, the fact that the car was registered across the state, and the fact that the driver was drumming on the steering wheel to music when the agents caught up with the car.
And why, tell me where I'm wrong about this, if this is where I perceive the case. You've got two law enforcement officials whose duties are largely to find illegal aliens and to try to stop the illegal traffic that's coming across the border. This is not their first rodeo. They've been on this for two or three years. They've done this many times, arrested people. They see this car go by, and they see someone on the back seat notice that they're there, and immediately upon doing it, slump down below the window so they can't be seen. Now, why isn't that enough evidence to create reasonable suspicion in the minds of these particular officers whose duty it is to do this and who do it all the time, to say, whoa, why is that? Why else would he be sinking down like that unless there was some criminal activity involved? And why isn't that a reasonable suspicion?
Well, for a number of reasons, Your Honor, it's not. But first, I'd like to address the premise of your question, because these are not agents who have been doing this for many years. These are not experienced agents. These are agents who have just been trained at the academy, who've, I think, done this 8 times for 2 hours each time. So they have little experience at all.
Have they ever arrested anybody?
That's not in the record, whether they've arrested any. I know it was the case agent's first time being a case agent. And, in fact, the district court found in its findings that the officers had, I forget the exact word used, but something like far less experience than normal. I mean, they only had 16 hours experience. It's true one of the officers did have experience on the beat in downtown Laredo, but under Brignone-Ponce, I mean, it's the experience with the alien trafficking that counts, not experience on a downtown police beat. Your Honor, with regard to this look of surprise on the passenger's face, and the court may not have addressed that. I know I'll get to the slumping, but in Marino Chaparro, this court found that it was of little significance that the driver looked at surprise at the agents. In Pacheco, the passengers were slouching down and avoiding eye contact, and this court found that that wasn't sufficient. And in a number of other cases, like Chavez Villarreal, this court found that slumping down, the passenger briefly slumping down, was not enough. In Peña Cantu, this court found that those in the back seat who were sitting low as if to avoid detection was not enough for reasonable suspicion. So my answer.
But aren't those cases different in the sense that here he slumped down out of sight immediately? At least, this is the way I understand it. You can tell me if I'm incorrect. Immediately upon spotting them, he sits down like that, so they get the impression that he is hiding. That's not involved in any of the other cases, as I understand it.
Well, those facts may not be, Your Honor. I'm not saying they are. But what I'm saying is in Peña Camp 2, the facts were that the people were sitting in the back seat, sitting low, as I read the case, as if to avoid detection. I don't see how this is any different. This court has held that that is insufficient.
Well, because the difference is the immediacy. I mean, it's one thing for me to just kind of be slouched in the back seat of a car for hundreds of miles of a road trip. Here the finding was that he slouched immediately upon seeing the agents, and then suddenly the windows were rolled up that had been down. And I understand there was a difference in the facts presented, but we have to go with the fact findings that were made below. So tell me what would – here's the question I have. What would be a legitimate reason to react like that? I understand slouching by itself can be legitimate because you can be sleeping or just poor posture or whatever. But what would be a legitimate reason why the second you see the law enforcement guys, you slouch down and roll up the window?
Same reason.
Be a legitimate reason to do that at that moment?
Well, I have two answers to your question, Your Honor. The first one is the same reason I don't look at police officers at a red light. I'm nervous of them. I think they might suspect me of something. I mean, there are a number of reasons to slouch down, to hide from police, to fear them. Everybody has the feeling of, whoa, there's a police officer in my rearview mirror. I don't like that. I'm scared. So,
but you don't slouch down. I mean, I understand everybody, when they see a police officer, slows down, no matter how fast or slow they're going. So slowing down, to me, when you see a police officer, wouldn't be evidence of anything other than you see a police officer. But if I'm a passenger in a car seeing a police officer, why would I be hiding from them if I'm just a legitimate person driving down the street?
Because you're afraid of them, because they have power. For the same reason I don't look at them when they pull up next to me, for the same reason I slow down and try to get them beyond me. I mean, you don't, slouching down, you got to get back, Your Honor, to the basic question is there reasonable suspicion that a crime is being committed or about to be committed, and are there specific articulable facts that show or that support reasonable suspicion? And so if you look at Brignone-Ponce, they look at objective facts that crime is being committed.
A suspicion that a crime is being committed.
But look at Brignone-Ponce. I mean, the factors are objective factors, features of the car that alien traffickers use, the area, evasive driving, not just looking away or slouching down. I mean, those kinds of behaviors, I don't say they can't go into the calculus. I see a police officer and I slouch back. I'm not saying they can't go into the calculus, but what we have here are things that, under this court's precedent, don't rise to reasonable suspicion. I know the officer can have a hunch, and even under Brignone-Ponce, if the officer could have a hunch and be right, gee, that looks funny to me. I have a hunch that something's going on there. I'm not saying that you couldn't have a hunch, that you couldn't think, I better go check that out. But the question is, does it meet the constitutional standard? And we submit that it doesn't. And we submit that it doesn't because of this court's case law, most recently Olivares-Pacheco, which recounts the case.
In that case, they specifically said there wasn't any slumping. They said it didn't happen close to a shift change, which this one did. It was 200 miles from the border, and there was no slumping. They made a big deal about the slumping. There, the case involved a lot of this issue of brush and whether there's a lot of brush in Odessa, which is really not pertinent to our case. So, I mean, I'm just, you know, honestly, I see this as a close case. I really do. And so I'm struggling with this question of whether there's a legitimate basis for somebody, because the problem with, like, the eye contact, I might make eye contact, I might not. You know, the staring straight ahead, I kind of agree with. I would tend to not want to draw attention to myself if there's a police officer around, whether I was doing anything wrong or not. I just don't want to be drawing attention to myself. But that's why that slumping's weird, because you're kind of drawing attention to yourself, aren't you? Like, oh, you know, ducking down, rolling up the windows the second you see an officer.
Well, one officer said he slumped below the half-open window. The other officer said he slumped back, apparently. And there are two different places on the side of the car. There's like a piece of silver, you know, in the back, like on the side of the back window, and there's like the part of the car. And one officer said he slumped below the window. One officer said he slumped back behind the bar. So I don't know if that – the officer couched it as slumping, as if to hide. I know in Peña Cantu they said slouching as if to avoid detection. But I think given the two officers' descriptions, it may be that he just laid back. I can't tell. The officer said he could have been sleeping, but that's highly unlikely because I just saw him awake down the road. This is when they approached him. So I agree, Your Honor.
We can't reverse because we're not exactly sure about the slumping, because that's a fact finding. So,
I mean,
if a slump below the window would support it, and there's evidence of that, then I don't think we're going to reverse on that basis. I mean, we're in appellate court. Help us. If you want us to rule your way, help us with how we would view the facts as found by the district court in a way that helps you.
Well, I mean, the facts is The first thing you need to do, I think, as I said in my brief, is to subtract the facts that aren't supported by the record. One of the things the district court relied on was the traffic at that time of day on the road, which was not testified to, so you have to take that out of the equation. Another thing the district court found was that few of the Brignone-Ponce factors were present. So that's the second thing that I think helps us. Another thing the district court found was that the agents were far less experienced than agents in any other case. And the district court, Your Honor, you've really hit the nail on the head, because the district court, in the end of its opinion, says it really comes down to the behavior of the person in the back seat. And the district court found that was enough. And I submit that under Peña Cantu, Marino Chaparro, Pacheco from 1980, and even Rangel Portillo, slouching down, even when the officer looks at you, even when you look surprised, is not enough. It can't be that, I mean, I would hope that we are allowed to look away from law enforcement officers, that we are allowed to hide in the car from them, that we're allowed to walk around the block and not see them, without saying the Fourth Amendment allows the officer to stop us. And if we do say the Fourth Amendment allows an officer to stop us because we avoid the officer, then I think we've turned the Fourth Amendment on its head.
It's a good bit more to this case than that, though.
Well, what more? How do you mean, Your Honor?
Well, I mean that you had law enforcement officers whose responsibility basically is to engage in arresting or try to stop the very illegal trafficking that was going on. You have this in an area where it does go on. It is a frequent, if not the most frequent, violation of criminal law that these people have. They are parked on the side of the road. All of a sudden, whenever he sees them immediately, he ducks down, indicating that he is hiding some kind of suspicious activity. And knowing what happens on this road, knowing their responsibilities, I mean, they say, well, this can fit the circumstances.
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is to do away with the first factor you mentioned. The fact that the police officers are on the side of the road with a duty to arrest people who are committing crimes isn't a fact in this case that leads to the Fourth Amendment. It's a fact in this case that leads to the protection of the Fourth Amendment. The fact that they're there doesn't make my client guilty of a crime.
No, but it's part of the totality of the circumstances. You're absolutely right. It doesn't make him guilty of a crime, and nobody's saying he ever was guilty of a crime until it proved that he was. We are talking about suspicion. That's all we're talking about, is suspicion.
Exactly. And they may have had suspicion, but not reasonable suspicion. And that's the point.
Well, reasonable suspicion is the specific articulable facts together with the rational inferences from those facts.
That they have committed or are committing a crime. And I contend under this court's case law, slouching down, a look of surprise, walking back around the corner away from a police officer or whatever you're doing to avoid those who have the power and the arbitrary power to arrest is not reasonable suspicion. Thank you very much, Your Honors. I'd ask you to reverse my client's conviction. I'll save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sokol. Mr. Berry, we'll hear from you, representing the governor.
May it please the Court, Richard Berry for the United States, Mr. Sokolow. First, if I could, let me address something that Judge Jolly said in his opening question. The agents are, in fact, inexperienced, strictly in the sense that both of them had been with the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Service for approximately 4 to 6 months. They both attended the academy in January. They graduated in April. And this occurred in approximately June of 2009. Now, Well, Agent Escada, who was in the passenger seat of the customs of the immigration vehicle, had no prior experience. Agent Barbarina had 15 years prior experience as a beat cop in Laredo, 5 years as a beat cop, 10 years as a supervisor, where he'd worked on joint state and federal task forces involving narcotics, prostitution, child molestation, and alien
arrest. Is this his first arrest as an officer for the Border Patrol?
That's not in the record, Your Honor. He did volunteer at the suppression hearing that it was the first time he had been designated as the case agent. It's strictly an administrative matter as to which of several agents involved in a particular case is the quote-unquote case agent.
Would you agree then that under Brignone-Pumps and these eight factors, agents' previous experience in detecting illegal activity, that's a factor that would militate against the government. Wouldn't you agree with that?
No, sir, I would not. Special Agent Barbarina had been a Laredo police officer for 15 years. One of the things he did in Laredo, Texas, on the border with Mexico, was work joint state and federal task forces detecting, among other things, narcotics and alien trafficking.
But apparently there's nothing in the record about how many arrests he made or when.
No, sir, Your Honor.
As a Laredo police officer.
No, sir, Your Honor, there is not.
But you still take the position that he's an experienced agent. And I'm assuming under Brignone-Pumps, when they say agent, they're talking about an experienced Border Patrol agent. So you're saying experience means any law enforcement experience anywhere?
Since the crux of Brignone-Pumps is reasonable suspicion that crime is afoot, it would be prior experience detecting criminal activity. Criminal activity in the alien setting would be different than in narcotics, prostitution, or child molestation cases.
All right, well, let's begin with the first factor. Okay. Since you agree that Brignone-Pumps applies.
Yes, sir, Your Honor.
Factor one is proximity to the border.
Yes, sir.
And typically when that happens, we're talking about 50 miles or less from the border.
Yes, sir, Your Honor.
And in this case, this car was more than 50 miles from the border.
Yes, sir. The car was first spotted at approximately mile marker 59 or 60. The stop was at mile marker 65.
All right. And so if we get more than 50, the case says we have to examine these remaining factors charitably. Is that the word? I may be pronouncing it incorrectly.
Yes, sir, Your Honor. I put that in the brief, Judge Thornberry's quip from Peña Can 2. And I would note that Mr. Sokolow's reliance on Peña Can 2 is somewhat misplaced because Peña Can 2 was 250 miles from the border just outside of Houston. And in fact, unless I'm mistaken, the car in that case was registered in the vicinity of Houston.
All right. But we're outside the 50.
Yes, sir, Your Honor,
we are. Proximity to the border militates against the government.
Yes, sir, Your Honor, under the 50-mile rule, it does.
And then the characteristics of the area. This was an interstate highway.
Interstate 35. There are a very small number of roads leaving South Texas, and as Magistrate Judge, now District Judge Saldana, observed, and as District Judge Kazin observed, I-35 is notorious for smuggling drugs and aliens both. It also
carries a national interstate highway.
It is a national interstate and carries a huge volume of motor vehicle traffic, but it is also known for smuggling both drugs and
pretty
aliens.
Much every interstate is in all these cases. I-20 in the Pacheco case that was just cited to us, and you know, I drive I-30 every day, and I'd like to think that doesn't justify stopping me.
You're correct, Your Honor, it doesn't. And in this case, there were a number of other factors, precisely as you were discussing when Mr. Sokolow was arguing.
Well, other than the slouching, what were all these other factors? And in fact, now this court said in Pacheco, did it not, that slouching is relevant, but it is not sufficient, even when combined with other observations, to justify a stop. That's what this court said in Pacheco, isn't it?
That is correct. As Magistrate Judge Saldana noted, first, you have I-35 within proximity of the border, admittedly beyond 50 miles, but still not a huge distance, not 250 miles as in Peña Can 2, or 250 miles as in Pacheco.
But I think that gets us into charity.
I will spot you that it does get us into Judge Thornberry's charity.
Right. So the slouching, which this court has said is relevant, but is not sufficient when combined with other observations to justify a stop. So what else are we going to combine slouching with? Justify reasonable suspicion.
If I could, let me set the stage. There's Interstate 35, a corridor known for trafficking. There's the fact that it occurred at 8 o'clock in the morning, which the Special Agent Barbarina testified was the shift change. The uncontested testimony.
But didn't he also testify that they stagger shift changes so that to make it more difficult for smugglers to anticipate when the shift would be changing and therefore the time their travel in accordance with the shift change? Wasn't that also part of the testimony?
Yes, sir, Your Honor, he did. However, he still testified that smugglers are very careful to keep track of shift change time for the Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents, and they try to run loads during shift change periods. Basically, it's a constant game of cat and mouse. ICE tries to change the shift change, and the smugglers try to outguess the shift change time. In this case, their shift would have ended at 8, but Agent Barbarina said that they were held over until 10 o'clock.
All right.
The third factor would be the look of surprise, and it wasn't just a look of surprise. Well, the third factor would be Special Agent Barbarina said the rear passenger window was halfway down when he first saw the vehicle. Special Agent Escada, who was in the passenger seat, testified both on direct and cross-examination that both rear windows in the Nissan Maxima were halfway down when they first saw the vehicle. And then, after viewing the vehicle for approximately 5 seconds with the vehicle essentially perpendicular to their vehicle, they saw Mr. De La Cruz turn and give a look of surprise. And Special Agent Barbarina said, an oh my God look of surprise. Not just a look of surprise. A wonderful word picture. An oh my God look of surprise.
Well, didn't the officer testify that they positioned the vehicle so that they would have the advantage of the element of surprise?
Yes, sir, Your Honor, they did.
Well, then you're not surprised that someone looks surprised if you plan to surprise them.
How many times can you say surprise in one sentence?
I think I'm going to concede that Judge Graves has me beat at 3.
I
respectfully submit that it was not just a look of surprise. Special Agent Barbarina's oh my God description was priceless. It's on page 86 and 87 of the record and discussed in my brief. In addition, at that point, Special Agent Barbarina and Special Agent Escada decide to follow the Nissan Maxima. By the time they catch the vehicle, approximately 45 seconds later, when they see De La Cruz in the back seat, he gives the oh my God look of surprise and immediately tries to hide. By the time the two agents catch the Maxima, approximately 45 seconds later, both heavily tinted rear windows have been rolled up. Mr. De La Cruz is now slouching in the back seat so as not to be seen, according to both agents. And for the approximately three minutes...
That's a subjective determination, isn't it? I mean, you can say whether or not he slouched, but the argument that it's trying to hide, that's some subjective determination based on their observation.
That would be their subjective interpretation.
But objectively, all you can say is that he slouched.
Objectively, you could say that he slouched, but since he specifically denied slouching at the suppression hearing, one can infer it was slouching with an intent to avoid visual detection.
All right.
During the 3 minutes that they paralleled Soto's vehicle, Soto and the driver, his fiance, I believe it's De Leon, refused to make eye contact. Again, there are a legion of cases saying that eye contact is meaningless. They're an equal legion saying that eye contact is at least something that goes into the articulable suspicion mix. According to Special Agent Escada, who was in the passenger seat of the Tahoe, the driver did not start tapping frantically on the steering wheel until 2 or 3 seconds after the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Tahoe pulled up alongside of them.
But everybody discussed that tapping as if to music. I mean,
yes.
There's no inconsistent testimony on that. The passenger in the back seat, De La Cruz, ultimately
yes.
testified and
yes,
said it was to music, and the two agents said it was as if to music. And nobody, so tapping as if to music and to music, that's one area where everybody's testimony agrees, and it seems to not help you.
It does to a large extent, Your Honor. However, Special Agent Barbarina went beyond that. He said it was over-exaggerated. It was as if she were nervous, which, again, is a subjective interpretation.
Said in that stage. As I understand it, once they spotted the car and began to follow it, then they pulled up for 3 minutes right beside it.
Yes, sir, Your Honor.
Looking at them like that.
Yes, sir, Your Honor.
I mean, that would make anybody kind of nervous. I mean, it seems to me, objectively speaking, that if a police car is engaged in riding side by side with me on an interstate highway, looking over at me for 3 minutes, I guess that one is inclined to pull off the side of the road or something. Something's wrong.
Your Honor, I would.
I don't know whether you can say that tapping on the steering wheel aids much. I mean, I don't see that.
I apologize for interrupting your question, Judge Jolly. I would respectfully submit that you are correct. Natural human inclination is to look to your left and see who is there. I was standing at this podium the first week in December arguing another Brignone-Ponce car stop 76 miles from the border. Judge Benavidez was sitting where you are sitting now. He said that refusal to look, and the occupants of the extended cab pickup did not look to their left. Judge Benavidez said that looking is absolutely meaningless. Whether the driver and the passengers do or don't look is absolutely meaningless. Judge Clement was seated where Judge Graves is now, and she said, it is only human nature. If you're driving along for 2 or 3 minutes, A, you can assume that there's not a lot of traffic, because if the Immigration and Customs people are in the left lane, either they're going to be somebody's hood ornament or there's not anybody behind them or ahead of them, and B, it's only human nature. You're on a fairly sparsely traveled road. You want to know who's 5 or 10 feet away from you for 3 minutes. Beyond that, during the 2 or 3 minutes, there was no eye contact from either the two people in the front seat, including Mr. Soto, or from Mr. De La Cruz. In fact, Mr. De La Cruz continued to slouch in the back seat in an attempt to avoid detection.
There were two things. One is the burden is on the movement, that is, on the defendant in this case. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, Your Honor.
And the second thing is there seems to me no reason that is more probable that crime is afoot to explain slouching out of vision immediately upon seeing the police. What other reason would there have been to see you and then hit the floor? And that is very consistent with hauling aliens. I mean, they're all trying lying on the floor somewhere.
Well, I would respectfully agree, Your Honor. The initial oh my God reaction, coupled with slouching, coupled with rolling up the two heavily tinted rear windows, and the refusal to make eye contact, and then the denial of that activity at the suppression hearing. And finally, Special Agent Barbarina pulled a Tahoe in front of the Nissan Maxima, and Special Agent Esqueda was able to look through the windshield and see that De La Cruz was still curled up, trying to avoid detection in the back seat of the Nissan Maxima. At that point, the agent
obviously unsuccessfully, because the officer detected him in the back seat. Isn't that correct?
Yes, sir, Your Honor. It was unsuccessful because of the relative geometry of a Chevy Tahoe and a Nissan Maxima.
Yeah, but what's weird about this is everybody's jumping up and down about the tinting on the windows, but they have the windows rolled down. I mean, here you are committing this illegal act. You went through the trouble of getting this heavily tinted window and you left it rolled down. I mean, doesn't that counteract any reasonable suspicion that the supposedly suspicious people, the driver and the front passenger, have their windows rolled all the way down? These heavily tinted windows are rolled all the way down.
Ostensibly, the short answer is I cannot address that. I do not know what their intent was. The longer explanation would be the front windows presumably were down because Mr. Soto and his girlfriend didn't need to hide. The rear windows were heavily tinted, and they were also rolled down, I assume for ventilation, up until the point where the Immigration and Customs agent spotted the Maxima and spotted Mr. De La Cruz and his look of incredible surprise.
But doesn't that counteract the suspiciousness of all of this? If you're just driving around with your heavily tinted windows, basically almost entirely rolled down, the front seat is all rolled down, the back seat's halfway rolled down, that seems to me to counteract this tinted window and this notion that they're driving around all nervously and worriedly.
Well,
why didn't they make use of their tinting that they have? I mean, and if they're trying to hide something. To me, rolling down the windows is inconsistent with being nervous and being worried about being caught at something.
I mean, there are all kinds of questions you can raise. Why wasn't he lying down all the time to begin with?
Well,
I don't know how relevant all that is. The question.
And under Arvizu, we don't have to exclude a collection of facts that constitutes reasonable suspicion does not have to exclude completely innocent conduct. As Judge Jolly said, what other reason would there be for an oh my God look of surprise, especially since Mr. De La Cruz graciously testified at the suppression hearing?
Can we assume that the district court, as a finder of fact in here, to the extent that the facts are disputed. I don't know that they are, but is that they were, that the oh my God surprise is what we have to accept?
Yes, sir, Your Honor. Magistrate Judge Saldana specifically said she found the two special agents credible and De La Cruz not credible, or that they were the more credible of the three witnesses. Just District Judge Kazin adopted her report and recommendation and said that since she had seen the witnesses, he would...
Judge Kazin did not hear this testimony?
No, sir, Your Honor. Judge Kazin did not. It was a suppression hearing in front of then Magistrate Judge Saldana, now District Judge Saldana. Judge Kazin had her 14-page report and recommendation, and I'm embarrassed to say I don't know if there was a transcript of the hearing at that point or not.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I would respectfully submit that there were more than abundant, specifically articulable facts to support a finding of reasonable suspicion to stop the Nissan Maxima, and I would ask for affirmance of the conviction and sentence.
I wouldn't go for abundant.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Thank
Judge Kazin said it was a close case, and I can do no better than to agree with Judge Kazin.
Okay, Mr. Sokoloff.
Your Honors, my main rebuttal, I think, is going to be the words of the Supreme Court and the word no or none. But before I start, Judge Jolly, you mentioned that the burden is on the movement, and I don't understand the law to be that way. We can brief it afterwards, but I think on a warrantless search or seizure, the burden's on the government to show probable cause or reasonable suspicion. That's my understanding of the law, so it's not on the movement.
Maybe wrong about it. I just assumed the burden was on the movement, but I do know that there's some shades and conditions on that, but yeah. I didn't know exactly.
And so my main rebuttal, I think...
Certainly the burden on appeal now is on you. You've got to show... We take the facts in support of what the district court found. We take them as the district court found. So
sure.
Certainly now you're going to have to show either that the fact findings were clearly erroneous, which is going to be hard, or you got to show that even given every one of those inferences and the slumping and the oh my God and all of that, it ain't enough.
And the latter, that's a pure question. The latter is my position, Your Honor.
Right, and that's a pure question of law, that there's no burden on one way or the other.
It's de novo, yes, Your Honor. And so in my rebuttal, I would just cite the words of the Supreme Court with the word no, none, or zero. The Supreme Court said you can consider many factors, the characteristics of the area, including its proximity to the border. No, under this court's precedent, not proximate to the border. Usual patterns of traffic on the road, nothing in the record. The experience with alien traffic, nothing in the record, especially with regard to the agent's experience. Information about recent border crossings, zero. The driver's behavior, such as erratic driving or obvious attempts to evade officers. No erratic driving, aspects of the vehicle itself, like station wagons with large compartments and fold-down seats, spare tires, used to transport aliens, zero. Vehicle may appear to be heavy loaded, no. It may have extraordinary number of passengers, no. The officers may observe persons trying to hide, perhaps slouching, one factor. The government also points that trained officers can look to the characteristics of the person, none. And the officers can assess the facts in light of the experience in detecting illegal entry and smuggling. No experience at all. So under Brignone, Ponce, and Judge Graves was right. It's just not law enforcement experience. It's experience with detecting alien trafficking and smuggling. The answer in this case is zero to perhaps plus 0.5. I mean, this case is sorely wanting under this court's precedent on reasonable suspicion, and I ask that you reverse the conviction.
Let me just ask you something real quick. I read the testimony of the officers, and I don't remember either of them saying that they suspected it came from the border, which was a big issue in Olivares Pacheco and this whole what leads to the cheerily line of decision versus the not cheerily design. One of the key thing was, is it coming from the border? Am I misremembering the record, or did anyone testify that they thought it was coming from the border, as opposed to they thought it was engaged in something illegal?
Your Honor, the testimony, I would construe it as the opposite. And as you're right, this court has said it's a vital consideration about whether the agent suspected it came from the border. And the reason I say it's the opposite is because it might have been Barbarina, I'm not sure which agent it was, when he was at, Highway 44 comes across the state to Encinal, and then I-35 heads north. And he was asked, if you knew that this car was coming from or going to any of the towns from Ensenal up to San Antonio, would you have found that suspicious? And he said no. So there's no evidence about it coming from the border.
You're saying there's other places it could have been coming from. It's not like just a straight line from the border and there's literally no other road you could have been coming from. There's other roads that connect with 35 between the border and where these agents were.
Yes, it was brought out on cross-examination. In fact, the car was registered in Kingsville near Alice. 44 goes across the state from Alice to Ensenal, and then Ensenal I-35 goes from Ensenal to San Antonio, and the maps are in the record, and they're all a number of towns from Ensenal up to San Antonio, and the agent agreed that, well, if I knew it was going to any one of these towns, which any rational person could assume, then I wouldn't have found that suspicious at all.
But I didn't see where he made the either of the two agents made the conclusion that it was coming from the border. That's my question.
You're
did they make that conclusion?
You're absolutely correct, okay. Your Honor. Neither agent said, as I recall the testimony, that it was coming from the border. I think there's nothing in the record that goes to that. And, in fact, it's the opposite because they agree that it could have been – I think they agree it could have been coming from Ensenal or going to any one of the towns there, and they wouldn't have found it suspicious. I request that you reverse. Thank you very much, Your Honors.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Sokolov. Call the next case of the day.